way.
Good morning. Wow. That'll get you out of bed, right? Or make you open a vein and take a hot bath.
Yeah, I'm thinking about a lot of things.
That's not a happy good morning song.
No,
that's
it's
not a get
Ralph.
You off.
What? I'm sorry.
Let me finish.
Okay.
Get you off to school and work
okay.
with a bounce in your step song.
No, it is not.
Beer Mug, put that on the list of songs we don't play at 5:53 in the a.m.
It's on my list.
All right. Sad, man.
Right?
It's a sad song. Johnny Cash.
Rather had some Evanescence.
Being all dead, singing about pain. Can I get my clickety click sound?
Oh, there you go.
Thanks, Beer Mug. It's going to be a good start.
Wheels of steel,
right.
baby.
Here we go.
All right.
It's going to be one of those mornings. Hello, boys and girls. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here in the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ-FM. As always, Kevin and Bean are not on the show, but I am here. My name is Ralph Garman. I'm here with the lovely and talented Allie McKay.
Yellow.
And instead of Chip the Wonder Monkey, we've got Beer Mug running things this morning. So
oh, no.
Buckle up. Anything can happen day. Here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Nashville's coming back.
Yeah, it is.
We've been talking about the fact that CMT picked up the television program after ABC dumped it. Thanks a lot, ABC.
So rude.
They are closing the deals with the cast to get everybody back on board and just announced, looks like Connie Britton and Hayden Panettiere have finished up their deals. They'll be returning.
Thank God. I was worried about Hayden.
She might want to go off and...
She's just been going through a lot of stuff.
Yeah, she's had postpartum depression and stuff. So, most of the cast members are coming back. Charles Esten, Jonathan Jackson, Claire Bone, Lennon and Maisie Stella, the Stella sisters, they'll be back. So, looks like everybody's coming back except for Will Chase and Aubrey Peoples. Play Luke Wheeler and Layla Grant, so... But they're going to bring them back for a couple episodes to kind of close out their storylines and then move along.
And then beat it.
Beat it.
Layla.
Kick bricks. Congratulations to everyone who is getting their stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in the coming year. The list has just been announced. Here's who's getting them. Mark Ruffalo, right?
Right.
Absolutely deserves one. Amy Adams.
Oh.
Who was that for?
I love her.
She's not a puppy.
No, she kind of is.
No, she isn't.
The cutest.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Aw.
Goldie Hawn. Goldie Hawn doesn't have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
That's crazy.
That's kind of crazy. Ryan Reynolds, Eva Longoria, Chris Pratt, and Hugh Laurie. All well-deserved. Speaking of well-deserved, George A. Romero finally getting his star. You know him, Allie, right?
Sure. I call him Georgie, so
yes,
I wasn't...
But he's best known for...
George Romero?
Yes.
Dracula.
Nope. He is the Night of the Living Dead creator.
Right.
No.
Which he did wearing a cape.
No, he didn't.
And fangs.
And so he kind of is responsible for the phenomenon is the zombies that we all celebrate and enjoy now. I mean, it all started back with him in the 60s with Night of the Living Dead. So
sure.
He's getting one. Rita Wilson? Actress Rita Wilson, Jeffrey Tambor,
love,
director Lee Daniels, Sarah Silverman, getting her star, and Tyra Banks, just to show you that they still not 100% know what they're doing over there at the Chamber of Commerce. Tyra Banks is getting a
Do you think
star.
Bean perked up wherever he is? He felt it.
It's about time. Glorious. They're going to put the star on her forehead. That's where they're going to put it. They needed some extra real estate.
That's
and
just wrong.
There's about an acre there. They could just put that right in.
I have one thing to say to you.
What?
Kiss my fat ass.
I'll pass. Wow. If you don't mind. Angry lady. Good news for nerds. Netflix has announced a remake of the classic sci-fi series Lost in Space. They're bringing Lost in Space back. I loved Lost in Space. You know, there's a huge Lost in Space fan? Dave, the King of Mexico.
What?
I know, it's a surprise. You wouldn't think that.
Because he hates old stuff.
Right. He just likes Step Up and Cats.
Really?
But he's a huge Lost in Space fan.
Did a grandparent or someone get him into it? Because that is very odd.
I don't know who touched him, but I just know that...
I didn't really mean that.
He enjoys that series.
Huh.
No word on casting yet. Obviously, they just announced the series will likely be seen in 2018, so we have some time, but... For fans of that series, they'll be glad to have it back. They tried to reboot it. They did a movie with Matt LeBlanc and William Hurt.
Really?
Yeah. Who's that? Mimi Rogers? Yeah, that was the cast. Did not go well.
Yeah, no memory of that.
So I think it looked good on television. William. Remember that? Remember that? Dr. Smith? Nothing ringing a bell? Nothing? Never watched Lost in Space?
No.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Yeah, danger. Danger, Will Robinson.
Oh, he was a robot?
Oh, shut up, you bubble-headed booby.
And that was a British guy?
That was Zachary Smith. Dr. Zachary Smith. Dr. Smith, what are we doing? Oh, William, oh, the pain. The pain, William.
No.
None of this ringing a bell.
Not even a little bit.
How can you be such a Star Wars fan and yet so dumb about other sci-fi things?
How dare you?
You don't know anything about Star Trek or Lost in Space or anything else. You'd think there'd be some bleed over.
You would.
Some crossover.
You really would.
But you got none of it.
Not at all.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Star Wars, Lucasfilm has announced they're going to be launching a new line of gear all surrounding one character that hasn't really debuted yet.
Hmm.
TMZ has reports that the company just filed documents in Europe to sell all kinds of goodies. Clothing, footwear, toys, games, party hats, birthday favors, Christmas tree stands, all built around a character called the Death Trooper.
Oh.
Speculation is
when you think Christmas.
Right, you think Death Troopers. William. Death Troopers holding up my Christmas tree, dear boy. Oh, yes. Oh, Major Smith. Oh, Major West.
Imagine not knowing the show and just watching you do that.
Oh, Professor Robinson. I want to go home. Death Troopers will make their grand debut in the upcoming Rogue One movie, according to sources. So it looks like we have a new character to get excited about. The Death Troopers. Mm. You don't seem that excited.
I mean, I got really excited for the last movie. And
okay.
I loved it, but I feel like I can't go through that hype again. I can't.
Oh.
I can't. Have I made it clear?
Apparently. Your schedule's full.
Exhausted.
You're all booked up. You don't have time to get excited for a movie because you got all that other stuff going on.
Very busy.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Our buddy David Alan Greer is 60 years old today. Mike Tyson is 50 years old. I hurt my back. Spinal. Modest Yahoo. Oh, I wish Kevin was alive. He loved Modest Yahoo, the rapper. He is 37 years old today. Actress Lizzie Kaplan. How much do we love Lizzie Kaplan?
The most.
34 years old today. And swimmer Michael Phelps. I believe he's going to be competing in the Rio Olympics,
he just qualified yesterday.
Yeah, 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
It's been a while, Ralph, since we've had to talk down Kevin. But he, you know, Kevin doesn't get outraged by much.
Well, he doesn't really understand much. How dare you?
If he understood more,
I think he'd be angrier more.
Like, I feel like if you're living in America today and you're not outraged, you're just not paying attention. But nothing bothers Kevin until yesterday on Star Wars Day, and now he won't shut up about this list.
He's drawn the line.
Yep. This isn't even a new list. It's a
year
old.
Planting his feet and taking a stand.
Finally, something's important enough for Kevin to get upset about.
That's right.
Rolling Stone magazine published yesterday, or a year ago, but retweeted yesterday, the 50 best Star Wars characters.
Wow.
50 best, in order.
50. In order of greatness?
Yes.
Hmm.
In order of greatness.
Well,
so I thought we would try to come up with our top five because I don't think it'll match their top five. I don't think it may be even close.
And does it matter if it doesn't match their top five?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Ralph.
Listen to this guy. There's a list about everything in the world. Needs to have everything ranked. His favorite. He has a list of his top five favorite lists. That's how deep it goes. Now, when someone else cares,
he's dismissing it.
It doesn't matter what the rank is, what the order is.
No, I was just asking. I just want to know what our parameters
are.
No one cares about lists more than you.
And things in order.
Right.
That is true. Okay. So you're saying we need a better, more comprehensive, more correct list.
We need a definitive list.
Okay. Of the greatest Star Wars characters of all time. Okay.
The top five.
I think this would be a great way to start before we hear what Rolling Stone says. Let's go around the room. Who's the obvious number one?
Darth Vader.
Biggs Starlighter. Darklighter. Biggs Darklighter.
It's got to be Darth Vader.
Fighter.
I agree.
Salacious
Crumb is number two.
Chip just loves all the Ewoks. She's got Ewok at one through five.
I agree. Darth Vader is Star Wars.
Absolutely.
Right.
He's got to be number one on the Rolling Stone list, of course, yeah.
He's not.
He's got to be number one.
He's not got to
be number one.
But he's not number one.
Well,
but
he must be. That's ridiculous.
That it's not a list of the 50 best Star Wars characters. Right, what's the list of?
Then, I'm saying.
Number one has to be Luke Skywalker.
No.
Because he's the center of the story that is everything about everything.
Luke Skywalker is not in the top five.
All right, now I will murder
that's
you.
That's what I'm saying. That
no,
was my point.
I'm going to murder you, not
well,
Rolling Stone.
I didn't write it.
Kill the messenger. That's my motto.
Luke Skywalker is sixth. Not in the top five.
Behind.
Well, how do you want to do this? You want me to read the list or do you want to come up with your own? Because I would start with Darth Vader first.
Absolutely.
And maybe Luke Skywalker second.
Oh, I'd Han Solo second.
Okay, I can see that.
And then Uncle Owen.
Right?
See, now you're not taking this seriously. I don't even want to talk to you because you're not taking this seriously.
Dean is not taking the list seriously.
That's right.
No, I am.
No, you're not. No, you're no longer in the conversation.
Who's number one on their list, Kevin?
Han Solo.
Nah, he's no.
No,
Darth is number one.
He's top five, obviously, yes. But he's not number one.
He's number one on this.
He's not number one.
That's insane, right?
That is insane.
That's what I'm saying.
It's so insane that he's number one.
Number one, Han Solo. Number two, Darth Vader.
Yeah, reverse that.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Solo can't even be number two.
Oh, sure he can.
No, he can't.
Who's your number two?
Two would obviously be Luke Skywalker.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I'm telling you,
he's
no.
The center of the Star Wars universe, even more so than Darth Vader, I'll have you know. It all revolves around him on every level.
It's a story about Luke.
But he's not the best. These are the best characters. He's not the best.
He is. Well, he is the best. He's.
He's not the best. I'm putting Yoda over Luke.
No,
yeah.
Yoda's an ancillary little gimmicky thing that they had to throw in there. Why don't you make Ben number two then? If you want,
what are you talking about? Yoda is a great character.
Absolutely, I don't even know what Ralph's doing.
But he's not quintessential. He's not the
the
linchpin of the Star Wars universe like Luke Skywalker is.
You want to have your head explode? Who's number three on the Rolling Stone list?
Boba Fett.
Oh, come on now.
That's what I'm saying. I read that. I was like,
you might as well just make it Lando Calrissian then.
Are you kidding me?
Boba Fett would be ahead of Yoda then, would be ahead of Luke Skywalker, would be ahead of Princess
Leia. Chewie, R2-D2, everyone.
Ralph, Lando Calrissian is number nine.
Well, he's a top tenner for sure. Where's Bib Fortuna? Where's Bib Fortuna?
All right, here's their list. Here's their top five. Han Solo, Darth Vader, Boba Fett, Yoda, Princess Leia.
Luke's not in the top five.
Correct.
See, I have to boycott now.
Same.
Now I'm boycotting.
That's why I was upset. I was like,
I don't know what I'm boycotting, but I'm boycotting something.
You're boycotting this list that they put out a year ago.
Look, it sounds to me, guys, like all five of those characters go in the top 10, right?
Yeah,
you just don't
like
them in the top five. That's what you're saying. All right, let's take a call.
By the way, I don't even know if Boba Fett goes in the top 10. Maybe top 20.
I think that's fair.
I think you'd be hard-pressed to find nine other characters more important than Boba Fett in the legend, Kevin, quite frankly.
But, like, Chewbacca's not even in their top 10 in Rolling Stones list.
Well, come on!
Right? That's ridiculous. He's number 14, Chewbacca.
No!
Right.
14.
C-3PO is not in Rolling Stones' top 10, yet they have room for Boba Fett.
I would have put the Emperor at least in the top 10.
Huh.
Yeah.
No, you don't have
to. I would.
No.
I would.
No.
You can't tell me what I would do and what I wouldn't do.
Nah. Where's R2 Mother Lovin' D2? Where's he?
11.
He's not in the top 10?
No, C-3PO.
No, I'm sorry. C-3PO is 11. R2 is 7. Sorry.
Yes.
Let's take one call before the break. Let's make it Adrian and Chino, please. He's on line 4. He's going to help us out here.
Hey, Adrian.
Okay, so number 3, Obi-Wan. Number 2, Darth. And number 1, Yoda.
Whoa.
Number one,
there's
Yoda.
No Luke, no Han, no Leia in your top three.
No.
Oh, get shit. Just
you go right to hell.
You sit down. You sit right the F down.
Put him in the Sarlacc pit, right?
Thank you for the call.
Rolling Stone magazine's list of the top 50 Star Wars characters of all time for folks just joining us.
Yes.
Number one, Han Solo on their list. Number two, Darth Vader.
Right.
Number three, Boba Fett. Number four, Yoda. Number five, Princess Leia. That's what they've got. In other words, no Luke Skywalker in their top five. And I think that's the biggest outrage of all. Plus, Darth Vader not being number one, right?
Yep.
Let's take a few calls here. We got to start with Adrian. He's on line 6, please. He joins us from Long Beach here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're trying to make some sense of a real, legitimate, definitive top five Star Wars characters list. And Adrian, you want to contribute what, sir?
Darth Vader's got to be number one.
Right.
Sure.
Check.
Okay, two it has to be Luke Skywalker.
Right.
Luke Skywalker,
check.
Right.
Correct.
Okay.
Right. Agreed.
Three,
agreed.
Three has got to be Yoda, right? Okay, you guys got to get believing on that one. Yoda.
Make see, sure. I don't know.
Three is Yoda for me, but Han Solo is number two for me.
I think Han Solo should be number three.
Okay, I'd be Han Solo three.
I got Han Solo as four on my list. Yoda, I feel like he was a big draw for people who didn't see. He was alien. You know, people love that. Like, him, and I got to have R2 as number five, because R2, he's got to be on top five.
See, I do Leia at four. I do Leia at four, R2 at five.
I don't got Leia at four. I got Han Solo at four, R2 is five.
You have no Leia in the top five?
And no, Leia, I would say six. I would give her six, because
putting R2-D2 over Leia.
R2-D2 is seventh on this
this
rolling
stone. Most people were really drawn to R2. He was like the comic relief. Him and C-3PO, they were the comic reliefs, you know. But R2 is the quintessential robot. You know, he is a. You can't have Star Wars without R2. Really,
no, R2's pretty great. He's pretty great. Yeah,
That's my take, guys.
All right. I think thank you very much. Great call, Adrian. Really good.
Reasonable. You're a reasonable man. I disagree
with
you.
Part of the problem is we're trying to put too many people in the top five. There's only five slots.
How many should we put in the five?
Well, we're not good at this. We usually try to cram about nine or ten into the top five.
Oh, I see. That's a mistake.
Let's go to Michael, line seven, please. Michael is in Upland. He's going to help us out.
Yeah, I agree with Vader. Yoda, I would put second. Third would be Han. Fourth, Leia. Fifth would be Luke.
All right,
His is very similar to mine.
I would change the order, but all five of those would be the top five for me.
So you like Yoda more than Princess Leia in your top five? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's based off of how iconic they are to the series, their importance to the role, and then the top four on their influence and development on Luke, because Luke is basically a product of the previous four from the beginning.
Yeah, so if without Luke, there's no Star Wars, and you have him at fifth.
Yeah, but without those four, you wouldn't have Luke how he is at the end of Return of the
Jedi. Without Luke, you don't need the other four, because there's no story.
Well, without Obi-Wan, there's no Luke. Where's Obi-Wan?
Because he got Anakin pregnant?
No, Obi-Wan sets him on his path at the beginning.
Right, sets who on his path?
Luke!
Luke on the path!
Obi-Wan is number eight on the rolling stone. Right? Ridiculous, right?
Head spinning from all the bad.
That's what I'm saying.
Thank you. That was, by the way, another very reasonable person. I had no problem with his call at all. All right, let's take Chris in Alhambra, please. Maybe he can settle this one for us.
All right, hey, Chris.
I agree with you guys saying Darth Vader should be number one.
Okay.
In the game of Star Wars, it's Darth Vader.
Got to be Darth Vader, right? And you have Skywalker at two?
I don't have Skywalker on my top five, actually.
He's not in the top five?
Sit down. Sit down.
Based on likability rather than their importance in the role.
Well, Luke Skywalker is a whiny little bitch for the first movie, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, who's on your top five that's not on our top five?
Han Solo, Boba Fett.
Boba Fett, that's ridiculous.
Oh, there's another Boba Fett. Look at that. Just like Rolling Stone. Rolling Stone has Boba Fett at
Boba
number three.
Badass.
No, I like Boba Fett, but top five? I don't know. I can't do that.
He has a very small role, but, I mean, he grows on you. Like, he's really awesome.
Okay. Look, he's a great ancillary
Right.
He's a great ancillary character.
Take three.
And we love Boba Fett, but not top five in the universe. That's all we're saying. But thank you for the call, sir. I appreciate that. Let's do one more. Caller on line nine. I don't see a name here, though.
Misa have opinion too, top
five. Oh,
no.
Misa think number five, Qui-Gon Jinn.
Nope, no prequels, sorry.
Number four, Annie. Oh, Annie's my favorite. Annie.
Please stop talking to us.
Number one, Jar Jar Binks.
I thought you might say that. Okay.
Misa like Jar Jar.
Time for Bean Makes His Guess.
Bean Makes His Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean Makes His Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes His Guess.
Yes. I'd like to once again register my displeasure with the sound bites that are chosen for this feature. I don't see how it applies at all.
Oh, it always applies.
Noted.
Allie, you're single, lonely, and barren, right?
All three, yes.
All right. Are you on Tinder?
No.
Ooh,
really?
Tinder
for Allie would be terrifying, I think.
It would, yeah.
Murder and hiking would be involved.
Yeah.
It would be
absolutely
no good.
Not.
Well, I thought this was fascinating. I really found this interesting. Tinder just released a list based on the last 3 months, so this is as current as it gets, of the most right-swiped jobs for men. So, in other words, the ladies go on their Tinder app, which occupations do men have that they are most likely to swipe right for, saying that, yes, I want to date a guy who is a fill-in-the-blank occupation.
Oh, I see. Occupations. You're occupation. Saying jobs. I was thinking all different kinds of jobs that would be involved on a Tinder swipe that have nothing to do with work.
Nope. Occupations. Oh, okay. What do men do for a living that makes women attracted to them? I'm sure it's a total package deal. It also
sure.
has to do with how you look and proximity and things like that. But Match. What occupations are most popular on Tinder? And that is the subject of today's Bean Makes Us Guess. Kevin, you are up first. Which occupation will you choose?
Drummer for plain white tees.
What's wrong with you?
But it was well delivered. At least I delivered it poorly.
Yep. Would you like another stab at that? I sense you were guessing. What occupation are women most attracted to on Tinder?
Fluffer.
All right. Look, if you're not going to play the game.
Hey, I'm playing, man. Is it
all
on
right.
there?
I'm sorry. Fluffer is not on the list. We're looking for the top 10. I only have a list of the top 15, so I can't advise okay. if Fluffer just missed the list.
It must be 16, 17.
It's not on the list. Ralph Garman, you are usually excellent at guessing games. What say you?
I would say fireman.
Fireman is number 3 on the list. Excellent. Well done.
Thank
Ladies
you.
Love firefighters,
they love
don't
some
they?
Firemen, yeah.
Alan McKay?
I'm going to say doctor.
Doctor's number 4 on the list. Kevin, you're up. Oops, that's the wrong button.
Oh, we got to take this call first.
Do I have to go on the phone?
Kevin, what's your guess? You've already done fluffer. What do you got next?
Proctologist.
Oh, would you?
Come on.
How helpful would that be?
That's a doctor.
Should we not even come to you? That's true.
How
it has been our
dare you, sir.
I know there's very differing opinions about this profession, but I think usually women would be attracted to the financial wherewithin and withal.
Huh?
Lawyer. What's a lawyer?
Lawyer just outside the top 10. I'm sorry, at number 11. And by the way, I'm going to give this away, Ralph, since you touched on it. Financial advisor is number 13 on the list. So it's not an unattractive occupation to ladies, just didn't make the top 10.
Okay.
Alan McKay?
I'm going to say pilot.
Number 1,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What?
Pilot.
Yeah.
Maybe that's because they know he's going to leave soon.
Yeah.
So right. there's not a lot of, you know, drama.
Good point.
I mean, you do have to be pretty smart, and I would imagine have a certain disposition to be able to be a pilot, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
So, number 1, that's a great guess.
DJ at a strip club. Yes or no?
I guess that's a no.
Oh. So you're just joining us. We're talking about the most right-swiped jobs for ladies when they're looking at men on Tinder.
Now, here's the thing. Women love a bad boy. I would say musician.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Let me see. I do not see musicians.
Wow, this is bogus list.
I'm
bogus.
Sorry to say. Well, this is Tinder's actual data, so
bogus.
It's as accurate as it
bogus
gets.
Bogus actual data.
How come it's not bogus when my list isn't on there, when my guess?
Alan McKay?
I'm sorry. Can we tackle Kevin having a stroke?
You're the worst.
What just happened?
Your guess, Alan.
I'm going to say...
How come that's in my list isn't on there? What does that even mean? I'm not sure.
How about actor?
Yes, actor is not on the list.
Oh, so yes! That was a weird delivery of that. What the hell?
I bet actor would be it. Well, you know what? I'm trying to. The reason I waffled a little bit is because TV and radio personality is on the list. So
well,
that,
that's an actor. Actor.
Yeah, I would
all
right.
say so.
Well, I'll give you a point for TV radio personality. All right, one more time around, and then we got it. We're out of time. I'm sorry, Kevin. Your final guess. You have yet to make it onto the board.
Pirate. It's pirate on the board. Show me pirate.
I'm sorry. No pirate.
No
for you.
Pirate.
All right, Ralph, who, as usual, has already won the game
no,
in the last
Allie's,
round.
Allie's way in the
Yeah, I've
way
got
in the
three.
Lead.
Ralph
yeah.
has one.
I would say construction worker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm no? sorry, no.
Yeah. Tool
Allie,
help.
The final yeah. guess, please, yeah. and then we will reveal.
I'm going to say a model.
Yes, model is number 8 on the list. Beautifully done, Allie. All right, here's your top 10 most right-swiped jobs on Tinder for men. Number 15, I'm stunned that nobody guessed it, and I'm stunned it's not higher, is men in the military. It's number 15 on the list. Number 14 is a police officer. Number 13, financial advisor. Number 12, personal trainer.
That makes sense, right? Then they'd be judging your fat rolls. That's gross.
Yeah. Number 11 is lawyer. Number 10 is college student. Number 9,
that's
paramedic.
Not a profession.
What? College student?
That's not a profession. Boo!
Boo! This one sucks.
That's what people do,
no,
I guess.
Pirate.
What if you were going to college to be a pirate, Kevin?
Well, now it's a different thing.
Number 9 is paramedic on the list. Number 8 is model. 7, engineer. Number 6, teacher is one that we didn't think of, by the way.
Teacher.
Then TV radio personality. Allie, maybe you should be on Tinder, by the way. Number 4 was doctor. Number 3 was firefighter. Number 2 would have been a tough one to guess, but it's an entrepreneur or a company founder. An entrepreneur is number 2. And then number 1, as we had, was pilot. So there you go. There's your
pirate?
Top 15.
Pirate was number 1?
Pilot.
Pirate wasn't even
pilot.
Flying a plane.
Oh, never mind. It's pilot.
B-Mix's guess, yeah.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ-FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. It is 6:53, and you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You have dubious taste in morning radio, but we're glad you're here. Kevin and Bean are taking a little time off, but I am here with Allie McKay and Beer Mug, doing the showbiz beat and giving away some spectacular stuff, including passes to an advanced screening of the new Star Trek film, Star Trek Beyond. The movie's out in theaters on July 22nd. However, we're doing a special advanced screening at the AMC Burbank on July 20th. You will get to go see that screening, and then you'll also qualify for the grand prize, which is a trip to San Diego to watch Star Trek Beyond at the first ever outdoor IMAX premiere event down there in San Diego. You will be entered into that drawing. So, obviously, this is a big deal for Star Trek fans, and I wanted to give it to somebody who really deserves it. So what we're going to do, we have a little contest after the top of the hour. If you're a Star Trek fan and you'd like to see the advanced screening of Star Trek Beyond, and you know the different races that populate the Star Trek universe.
Like the different shirt colors?
Not different shirt colors, no. The different races, you know. We're not the only people in the universe, Allie. The human beings are not the only people. The Earthers are not the only people. They're people from other planets. There's other kinds of species out there.
Sure.
And if you're familiar with those famous other species that populate the Star Trek universe,
like what? Give me examples.
You will do well in this. You'll do well. Like the Cardassians, for example.
Really?
Yes.
Is that a thing?
Not the Kardashians, but the Cardassians is actually a race.
Really?
From Star Trek, yeah.
Are they like the Kardashians at
They're
all?
Very much. Well,
really?
Well, one of them is an evil empire, and the other one is characters from Star Trek. So. So if you know, we're primarily going to focus on the original series because, as you know, the film is about Kirk and Spock and Bones and that whole gang. So if you know those races, give us a call now, 1-800-520-1067, if you know your Star Trek races and we'll play that game just after the top of the hour. Meanwhile, let's take a look at show business news. This Iggy Azalea, Nick Young story keeps getting juicier.
Oof.
Of course, you know, they were engaged. Mm-hmm. And then they split up recently. And Iggy was seen throwing his clothes and stuff out into their driveway. It seemed like a very emotional breakup.
Yeah, very contentious. Very sad.
And everyone assumed it was because of that video that he made with a teammate regarding his sexual adventures with other women other than his fiancée at the time.
Right.
And we thought, well, maybe they tried to patch it back up together and they just couldn't and they split up. Well, apparently it's a little bit more than that. And we found out yesterday from Iggy Azalea's tweets that, in fact, Iggy had been unaware of Nick's other women until, well, let me read the tweet. I broke up with Nick because I found out he had brought other women into our home while I was away and caught them on the security footage.
Idiot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
What would lead her to check the security footage, you think?
Because she knew he had a past of cheating, but I wonder if he didn't know the security footage was positioned in places.
Do it in the house you share with your fiance, right?
Or don't do it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that's another point of view. Yeah, I'm just thinking, you know.
Go to a motel, lady.
Right. Thank you, Allie. Finally, you're seeing my side.
Oh, wow.
She tweeted again, this is just like a second shot to the chest. And I feel like I don't even know who the hell it is I've been loving all this time. Oh. People in this world are really effed up.
Remember when we were all mad at D'Angelo Russell? Like, how could you do that? How could you videotape it?
Bros before hoes.
Right. No, D'Angelo, come here. Let me give you a hug.
I guess he did save her some pain down the road.
Wow.
And by the way, there are rumors now that Nick Young may have gotten his ex-girlfriend, Keona Green, pregnant again.
Oh.
They already have a son together, Nick Jr., who's 4, and apparently she is with child again, and now rumors are that it is his. So, he's quite the fella.
Wow.
That Nick Young.
Well, ladies, let's be better. If he's engaged to someone and you have a baby with him and you're still sleeping with him, he's not marrying you.
Yeah.
Close him up.
Yeah.
Candy shop's closed.
Right. Maybe when Nick was having sex with Iggy after her plastic surgery, he thought she was another woman, and so he thought it was okay for him to have sex with other women.
That's hurtful.
Because she was unrecognizable after she got out of the clinic.
Listen.
Maybe that's what happened. He was like, well, this is a new woman. I guess I can have sex with a bunch of new women. Iggy must not mind. She sent me this girl, whoever this girl is.
That was Iggy. Yeah. How dare you.
Hard to believe.
How very sad, though. And to have it all play out on Twitter and E! Entertainment. And
Yeah.
That's bad.
We were talking about this off the air, Allie, and you said that she found out that his ex was pregnant on E! On
E!
News.
Yeah, she said she had no idea, so she saw it on E!
Yeah, it's good times.
That's bad.
Last hour, we talked about people getting their stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I have not completed the list yet because we didn't get to the musicians who will be honored with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Selena.
Oh, wow.
We'll have ceremonies later this year to give her a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, which is pretty cool. John Legend. NSYNC. I wonder if they'll all get back together again for that. Are they on good terms?
I believe
they are. Does Timberlake talk to the rest of them? New Edition.
Went to weddings and stuff. And
New Edition?
What?
You heard me. New Edition.
Have you seen the miniseries trailer yet? It's
what
a three-part miniseries that's coming out next year on New Edition.
History of New Edition?
Yes.
Is it like actors playing the
characters?
Yes.
And
who cares that much about New Edition? They're doing a miniseries about it.
Everyone in the world that knows anything that's good. I am so
that's a large group.
For this.
Why are you so excited about the New Edition story?
Come on. I love New Edition. Like Candy Girl and Mr. Telephone Man. And then
they had a few hits, but they don't deserve their own miniseries.
Yes, are you kidding? Belle Biv DeVoe. Then you've got Ralph and you've got Bobby Brown. I mean, this is big. Then they had to vote to kick Bobby Brown out.
Wow.
It's going to expose all of that. I cannot wait.
You are out of your tree.
Okay.
And Hall & Oates are also getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Hall
what happened to Amy Winehouse?
She is not getting one this year, Rodney, but maybe next year. Or maybe she already has one. I don't know. Hall & Oates!
That's good. Yeah.
Where's the Hall & Oates miniseries?
I mean, no.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. David Alan Greer is 60 years old today. Mike Tyson turns 50. Can you believe Mike Tyson's 50 years old? Remember when he was just like a 21-year-old? Beast.
Wrecking
the ring,
machine.
Just destroying people, just knocking people out.
Mike, were you really sick this week? What was the problem?
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that?
My back is broken.
What, a vertebrae or what portion?
Spinal.
The spinal part of his back.
Right.
He's not doing well.
Huh.
Mattis Yahu is 37. Lizzie Kaplan's 34 years old today. And swimmer Michael Phelps celebrates his 31st birthday. Hey, you want to go see Star Trek Beyond before anybody else? Come play our game just at the top of the hour. 1-800-520-1067. Call us now. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise.
I missed the Kirkoff.
Yeah, Kirkoff yesterday
so
was fun. We are giving away passes to an advanced screening of Star Trek Beyond at the AMC Burbank on July 20th. Movies and theaters everywhere on the 22nd. But you, if you win, we'll get a chance to see it before anybody else, and you'll qualify for a trip to San Diego to watch Star Trek Beyond at the first ever outdoor IMAX premiere event. This is going to be quite the big deal. Big, giant, high-definition IMAX screen, and the San Diego Symphony Orchestra will be playing the score to that film live while you watch.
Huge.
And you get to go to San Diego. It's pretty cool. So I wanted to make sure that a true Star Trek fan got these. And the way we're going to do it is play a little game that's all based on the different races and species that populate the Star Trek universe. We're calling this the Race War.
Kevin and Bean audience, it is time for you to play Star Trek Race War.
Here we go. It's on. Race War. Race War's on, everybody. It's going down. It's going down. Race War. Come on. Race War.
Star Trek Race War. I will give you a clue as to what race we're talking about from the Star Trek universe, and then I will play a little piece of audio having something to do with that race, and then you have to guess. It's pretty simple. Alex from Downey is our first contestant. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How familiar are you with the Star Trek universe?
My mom used to watch it too much when I was a kid, so I'm pretty familiar.
All right, let's see how this game goes for you. I will give you a clue, then play a little audio, so wait for that, okay? This is a humanoid species that is famous for their blue skin and antennae, and they first appeared in an episode called Journey to Babel, where one of them tried to kill Captain Kirk. Here's the audio.
Spock.
Spock here.
I'm on deck 5, near my quarters. I've been attacked by... Security team.
Captain.
Who is this blue-skinned humanoid species, Alex?
The Andorians.
Well done, sir. Congratulations. You're going to our advanced screening of Star Trek Beyond. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details. Wow, that was strong. I love when people are right. Let's go to Les. Les down there in orange. Les.
Hey, good morning, Ralph and Allie. How are you
guys? Good morning.
Good morning,
great.
Sir. Here is your clue. Wait for the audio. This is a group without individuality where every member is part of a collective consciousness. Here's what they're known for saying.
We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service us. Resistance is futile.
What race is that?
They would be the Borg.
The Borg. Congratulations, Les. You're going to the screening. Wow. Allie's just got this glassed over look in her face. She has no idea what we're talking about. Let's go to Brian in Beaumont.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Brian. Here is your clue. This warrior species first appeared in the 60s television series Star Trek and has appeared in all 5 spin-off series, 8 of the feature films. They were originally the enemy to the Star Trek crew, but in The Next Generation, they joined the United Federation of Planets. Here's how Kirk feels about them.
They're animals. Don't believe them. Don't trust them. They are dying.
Let them die.
Who are we talking about, Brian?
That would be the Klingons.
The Klingons, indeed. Most sure. Famous race, probably.
I know them.
You know the Klingons?
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
We got
That's
a spark of recognition.
The Klingon ears.
No, it's a different race. Let's go to Daniel in Los Angeles. Daniel?
Yes, hello.
So far, we're 3 for 3. Everyone's gotten theirs right. So
no pressure.
Don't blow it for us, Daniel, okay?
He just went, well.
Here is your race. This clue. This is a race that came from a group of Vulcan revolutionaries who refused to accept the Vulcan philosopher Surak's teachings of complete suppression of emotions. They left the planet Vulcan and settled elsewhere. Here's what Spock had to say about them.
Vulcan, like Earth, had its aggressive, colonizing period. Savage, even by Earth standards. And if retained this martial philosophy, then weakness is something we dare not show.
Who's Spock talking about there? What race?
The Romulans.
Romulans! Damn, these people are good.
Yeah,
four. Damn, Daniel. Hold on, you're going to the screening. We're 4 for 4. Let's see if Chad can give us a perfect record. Chad in Torrance is on the phone. Chad, good morning.
Morning.
Uh-oh, you sound a little worried. You sound a little worried.
Come on, Chad.
A little worried.
Come on,
talk
Chad.
About it?
We have faith in you. Here's your clue. This species, also featured in the original series, are energy creatures with no precise physical location, and they're able to interact with Federation and Klingons in this episode by giving themselves humanoid form. Here is Spock talking about them.
Fascinating. Pure energy. Pure thought. Totally incorporeal. Not life as we know it at all. I should say they are as far above us on the evolutionary scale as we are above the amoeba.
Who is Spock talking about there? You know what race he's talking about?
Oh, man. Sorry.
No.
I'll guess Tribbles.
Tribbles? No, sir. The Organians. We're talking about the Organians. Yeah.
Thank you.
Allie, you said you knew that one.
I was going to say the Fribbles. Is that?
The Fribbles. They're called Tribbles.
Right. Which is wrong?
That is wrong. Oh. Yeah. Let's see if Johnny can help us out here. Johnny?
Hello.
Hello, Allie, sir.
Hello, Ralph.
Hello, buddy. Here is your clue, okay? This race that we're talking about from the Star Trek universe, they are a green-skinned humanoid alien species, probably best known for their dancing slave girls. Here's one member of the Federation talking about those girls.
Funny how they are on this planet. Actually like being taken advantage of.
Yeah, they like being taken advantage of, these dancing slave girls. What race are we talking about? Green-skinned. You there, Johnny?
Hello?
Yeah. Did you guess?
Yeah. A Criterarian?
No, sir. I'm sorry. The Orions. We're talking about the Orions. Orion slave girls.
Oh,
the green Orion
slave
girls. They're not Irish at all.
Oh.
All right. Let's see if we can close this out with Todd in Sherman Oaks. You should get this one, Todd. This is a humanoid species, and they're noted for their attempt to live solely by reason and logic. Here's one of their own talking about them.
It means to adopt a philosophy, a way of life, which is logical and beneficial. We cannot disregard that philosophy merely for personal gain, no matter how important that gain might be.
Todd, who are we talking about?
That'd be the Vulcans.
The Vulcans, of course. Nice. Yes, well done, sir. You are going to see Star Trek Beyond at our special advanced screening, and you're also entered into that grand prize. Take a trip to San Diego to see it on the IMAX screen outdoors. Thanks, everybody, for playing Star Trek Race War.
Thank you for playing Kevin and Bean's Star Trek Race War.
Race War!
You guys follow the tweet of God? Not you, Bean, because 111, but I mean,
to drop somebody if I wanted to follow the tweet of God. But I will tell you, this is not a Twitter account I have followed, but I have seen his work because he is so popular that people I do follow sometimes retweet him, and he's very funny.
Yeah, it's a guy, it's a writer that used to work on The Daily Show for like
David
11
Jeverbaum,
years. Yeah, and he would write this, and it had 2.3 million followers.
It was a very funny Twitter account, and he frequently took targets at, in particular, conservatives. His last tweet on the Tweet of God account was after Justice Antonin Scalia died, and his tweet was simply, "Justice." That was it. He says the David Jeverbaum, who, as Kevin mentioned, was a Daily Show writer for many years, said that it was just taking up too much time. I have other things I want to do in my life, and I'm going to move on. So I guess that means there's an opening for God on Twitter, and we thought it might be interesting to find out what the real God thinks about this poser, the tweet of God, stepping down, and what's going to be next. How will he be further represented on Twitter, I wonder? So we got the hotline to heaven fired up, and I think we're going to get God on the line here, if we're lucky.
Hello?
Hey, God, how are you, man?
I'm well.
Hi, God.
Hey, God, how are you, man? It was just said.
Turns out I am not man. I
You're
am
God.
Who am.
That's right. Hey, before we ask you about
this... That's right. Well, thank you for telling me I'm right. Well, you have a me complex, don't you? You're telling me that I'm right.
Yes. Yes.
Thanks. Thanks for your approval.
All right. I feel like this got off to a bad start, God. Could we try again?
I think I got off to a bad start on your birthday.
Oh, God.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, God. God is on the program right now.
That's better. Thank you.
Hi, God. You're the best person ever.
Not a person, once again.
Okay. I just can't get anything right. Kevin, why don't you pick it up from here?
Hey, God.
Hello, Kevin.
Do you ever follow the tweet of God?
That douchebag.
Oh, really?
What?
I couldn't get my own Twitter handle thanks to that guy.
Did you try?
Yes.
You ask him? Really?
I was like, oh, I'd like to tweet. That sounds like fun. Go and put the tweet of God taken.
Uh-huh.
Guy's got 2 million followers. By the way, I have more followers.
Yes, you have billions of followers.
Not on Twitter, just in general.
Right. In real life.
In
that's
real
right.
Life,
you do, yeah.
And so I couldn't get it, so I couldn't tweet, and that was a bummer.
What did you think of the job he did, and were you concerned that people might think it was really you?
Meh. He was all right.
Just mad.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Impressed.
A lot of people thought he was really funny.
Yeah. Sometimes. But I'm glad I got it. And I'm glad he's gone. So now I can start tweeting.
You're taking over his account?
No, I'm starting my own account.
Okay.
Called the real tweet of God.
Okay.
Underscore, right. It's really me. Underscore, Yahweh.
And what kinds of things?
Yeah, I might want to shorten that up.
Yeah, that does sound like kind of lengthy. What kinds of things will you be tweeting about? Because he was very much involved in politics and pop culture, those sorts of things. Are they of interest to you at all?
Well, I will too.
You will too.
Oh. I'll be doing those kind of things. I'm hip.
Okay.
What kind of things are you?
I know what cooks.
What are you interested in?
You know what cooks?
You know, stuff.
Okay.
The universe and things.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to tweet right now.
Okay. Oh, wow, that's exciting.
Donald Trump. What's up? I didn't make skin that color.
That's a great point.
Burn.
Sick burn, guy.
Sick burn, right?
Yeah.
Let me get you some ointment for that burn, guy.
He's pretty orange, isn't he?
I've never seen that color before. I made a lot of colors.
Yeah.
I made you people like a bag of freaking Skittles.
Right. Yeah, you did.
But
you gotta
cover. I don't know what that color's all about.
Yeah, bring in the heat on your first tweet.
How about that?
I like it.
Hashtag, right? I gotta work on that. Here we go. Kanye West. Ooh. Sorry, world. Even I make a mistake sometimes. LOL.
That is gonna hurt him.
Jesus. I know Jesus. Boom.
Yeah.
Oof.
Right?
Right. Drop the mic.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Hey, Tyga. Why wouldn't you let me into your Grammy party?
What? You were trying to get into the party too?
Yeah, they turned me away. So I thought it was on the VIP list.
It was Paul McCartney and Taylor Hawkins and Beck and you.
I was right behind Beck.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
And you weren't on the VIP list?
No. That hurts.
That does hurt. Like you haven't done enough for us.
Yeah, I got a lot of explaining to do on Twitter too. Here's a. Sorry, world. Took one vacation day. Now Bowie's gone.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Aww.
Turns out we have an angel named Beer Mug working up here. Hey, Bean, you going to follow me?
Who do I drop, though? That's the problem. I got to dump somebody if I follow
Doesn't
you guys.
Doesn't matter.
Sorry.
He's God.
Well, I'll consider it, God.
Oh, what an asshole. Closing walls and ticking clocks.
That's basically my life in a minute.
He was so young, you guys. I can't believe we lost
He's
another
dead.
One. He was a great artist
He's
and
not
a good
dead.
Man.
He's
had,
here.
Had Chris Martin a lot on the Kevin and Bean show.
He's actually here
and
now.
I'm really going to miss... What?
Yeah, he's here now.
Oh, I thought that was the retrospective we were doing. Oh, hey, Chris Martin. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm alive and so
yes,
happy.
You are alive.
Now, you took your headphones off for most of that intro. That was sort of odd. Do you not
No,
like
no,
to-
not at all. It's so trippy to have your entire career summed up in... Less than 25
it wasn't
seconds.
Summed up. It was just a little taste.
It was all our best bits.
Just a
so it's good
just
to know that after all this time, we've made at least 25 seconds of passable music.
It was, as your people say, a primer for your appearance on the program. That's
you say
all
primer?
We're
I thought we said primer.
Well, I thought we said primer and you say primer. I was trying to speak your language, Chris.
Well, how does the song go? You say whatever.
Right, exactly. Well, welcome in. How
Thank
are you,
guys.
You,
Thank
first
you, everybody. It's lovely to see you all.
Is it great being Chris Martin? Do you love being Chris Martin?
That's a lovely question. The truth is I'm so grateful to be alive and mm-hmm. I'm raring to go and yeah.
Because obviously there are many blessings in your life. But there's also when you're Chris Martin and you're in a band like Coldplay that is one of the most popular bands in the world, you're running an industry. And I imagine that you have a lot of people who have a lot of questions for you all the time. It's hard to get away. You have a million decisions to make. It seems like there's be a tremendous amount of work involved in being Chris
Martin. Thank you.
Well.
What an empathetic and lovely question.
Bean can make anything sound terrible.
No, I'm just saying.
Who'd want to do it?
Bro. Oh, oh my gosh. Sounds awful.
But I mean, isn't there a lot of work involved in being you too?
In being you too, yeah. Quite a bit, yeah. Well, that's real work.
Looking at you also.
No, the truth is, I'm so grateful for my life, and I just love what we get to do. And I don't know how you guys feel, but after you've been doing something a while, it makes you more and more grateful, I find.
That's the voice of our friend Chris Martin from the band Coldplay in studio here on the Kevin Abede Show. You've done the Super Bowl since last time we were here. And it looked, I mean, it was a triumph. I mean, it had to have gone as, I mean, I can't imagine it could have gone any better than you guys. I mean, everybody was raving about it. But what was it like for you on the inside being that man on the stage looking out at that?
It was so intense on every level and wonderful. And I think it'll take me a while to sort of process it all. But ultimately, if we had to do it again, we would probably do the same thing. It was challenging because it was daytime and it was the 50th year. But ultimately, we made the decision to not make it about Coldplay, but to make it about how we feel about the world and music. And so we invited our friends along to come and do their bit. You know, we tried to share it and we tried to... I felt like in the lead up to that, the world, the media, everything seemed kind of a bit negative about the state of the world. So we wanted to come out and say something positive and
just bring a blast of joy.
That's what we tried to do, and I was just so grateful that we got given that chance.
What is left for Coldplay to do? I mean, when you know you're doing Glastonbury again, you did the Super Bowl, you're playing stadiums now. As a band, what can you do that you haven't done before yet?
I think we're going to run for president, you know.
Well, got
you
my
may
vote.
Not, I'm not you sure may not you're be allowed. Like
oh yeah,
you're not really
there's
allowed.
That little thing. No, what's left is really to. We're just living right in the moment. We have this tour, which will probably go for another 18 months or so. And
does that sound like a long time to you?
No. It sounds like, the truth is, I've never loved it so much as now. Because we've made 7 albums. We don't feel in a hurry to do it. Who knows if we'll ever do another album. We just
don't
to,
say that, Chris. Don't,
well,
don't
it's okay,
be,
it's okay
don't
to say
that guy.
Because life, you know, who knows what's going to happen. So we're just so, we're having so much fun at the moment with just playing and being together. And we have a set list that we really feel good about. If you like Coldplay, it's great. You know what I mean?
You seem truly grateful, and you're so at peace. Is this a newer thing for you, or
I think it's more recent? Yeah, it's taken a lot of time and work to get that way. It's just come about, I think, in the last few years of just appreciating things and not worrying so much. Mm-hmm. It's fun. I was speaking to someone yesterday whose boyfriend is on their first or second album, and he was getting down about social media. And if you want to, you can always find a reason to get down. You know, there's always someone who won't like your music or won't like your show or whatever. But I found that I was getting a bit bogged down by that a few years ago. So I decided to just let that go and appreciate the people that do show up and do want to hear our music. And that just makes me happy.
Is it too personal a question to ask if you see a therapist or if you ever have?
I have a teacher.
A teacher?
I go and see people who seem like they have it figured out. You know? One is a guy who's into Sufism, which is like a bit like Buddhism. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just have some teachers. I always thought when I was 21, like, oh, I've finished learning now.
Right.
You know, you come out of college. And now I realize that's really not the case. You can always find people with a great new perspective. Or I'm talking way too much. I'm sorry.
No, not at all.
We're fascinated. Yeah. Let me ask you.
You're also the only guest on the show right now,
okay.
So it's cool.
All right.
We want you to talk.
Let me ask you about this, Chris, because you've evolved a lot since you were 21 years old, and you've seen a lot, you've done a lot, you've lived a lot. As have your bandmates.
Yeah.
How have you guys managed to stay so cohesive and together and not just friendly, but to the point where you're enjoying yourselves more than you ever have before, because that's not always the case with groups that are together as long as yours has been.
Well, the truth is, I think, being that if you, honestly, if you want the real answer, it's if you share money and credit.
That's the real answer.
Yeah, that's the real answer, I think, with a band, because that's where trouble comes in.
That's
as far as we can tell, in terms of our friends who are in other bands or the bands we look up to. You know, we were just talking about Radiohead before.
Right.
And U2.
I think U2 does the same
thing. Yeah, they share because a band, it's like you guys, there's chemistry that you can't really put a price on, and that's what makes you great.
Your friend Beyonce.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Lemonade?
I love Lemonade.
Wasn't it great?
It is great. It still is great.
Yes, it still is great.
That's what he meant. Isn't it still?
It's wonderful. I'm going to be honest and say I had the chance to hear it a while ago.
Oh, did you? Okay.
And that song, Sorry, which I think is track 3 or 4.
I love it.
It's my favorite Beyoncé song of all time.
As someone who is in the same lane as an artist like Beyoncé, somebody who writes and produces videos and music and does tours and the same sorts of things she does.
Well, we're not in the same lane. She's in the slightly different lane.
Right, but you have
I don't want to pretend that we're trying to compete with Beyonce. We don't want to compete with anybody.
No, but you have
in the fast lane.
It's not a competition for a start.
No, but you have a similar job to her. Like, I'm not ever going to compete with Beyonce, but you do the same sorts of things that Beyonce does for a living. And I'm just wondering if you are still in awe of what she does as a fan in addition to just as a musician.
Well, going back to the Super Bowl, there was a reason why we asked her, you know, because I was like, well, what can't we do? And let's ask the best person in the world to come and do that. And she did that times 10. And then she had this whole amazing message. And it was just awesome. But she's so clearly on the next level in terms of being a performer and entertainer. And I'd always watch her in awe. And it's inspiring. And
are you ever jealous where you go, it just seems like it's so much easier for her than it is for most people?
No, because it isn't. She works so hard. She's got a God-given talent like you wouldn't believe. But she works like you wouldn't believe either.
Are you doing any cover songs at all on this tour?
Yes, we're doing. Recently, we've been playing Heroes.
Okay.
David Bowie.
Nice.
And
F the Police. Are you doing that one?
We should be doing F the Police.
I mean,
would that be hilarious?
That would be the best.
Hey, Duran did White Lines. I mean, weirder things have happened.
One time we did Fight for Your Right.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yes, you did that at the Hollywood Bowl show. We played that a bunch
good
on
knowledge.
K-Rock.
Wow, that's good knowledge. Yeah. That's
that was great.
That's impressive.
It's very fun.
We'll try anything.
All right.
I like it.
Now we really are out of time, Chris.
Okay, that's fine.
I
got to go too, so.
Yeah, so you're busy,
it's
right?
Both of us.
You don't even want to stay anymore.
I couldn't have stayed anyway.
Chris, you mentioned when you sat down, it might have been off the air, that we have been talking to you since the beginning, right when the first record came out. And I want you to know sincerely, we're always genuinely excited when we see that you've got time to squeeze in. We love catching up with you.
Yeah,
we're so happy for you and your success, and we love your band. And just keep doing what you're doing, Chris.
K-Rock changed my life, man.
Thank you, man. Great to see you.
See you later.
You don't even know. God, I love that band. It fits in the tantrums right there. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7. K-Rock. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. We love you guys. Not like Kevin and Bean, who just leave you.
Right?
They left you. Daddy and Mommy left.
Yeah.
But we're here. We're here to take care of you, and we're doing the show as live as possible. A little less, almost live today, because I had too much sake last night, so I'm just
really?
Barely hanging on. But we're doing live Showbiz Beats, Ally McKay, myself, Beer Mug. And also, we do love to talk to you and see what's on your mind. Why listen to the show when you can be part of the show? We have a segment called What's Good, where we open up the phone lines. And if there's something that's on your mind, something you want to talk about, something you saw in the news, maybe some personal story, maybe you need advice. Maybe need dating advice from Ally McKay. Or you need diet advice from Beer Mug.
How dare you? I see what you just
or
did.
Or you need, sobriety advice from myself. We're here for you. 1-800-520-1067 is a number to call. Opening up the phone lines to hear what's on your mind and find out what's good after the top of the hour. In the meanwhile, let's take a look at the show business news.
Can I ask you a question first?
Yes, Ally
McKay. Hot or cold sake?
Cold.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
My wife drinks it hot, and
I like it hot.
Really?
Yeah.
How can you drink liquor?
It tastes almost cidery when it's hot. I like it.
No, cold, I put it in the freezer. I take the bottle and I put it in the freezer, and I just barely, just a few degrees below freezing.
Right.
I like it just frosty cold.
Well,
cold
I like that better. With like a limoncello, something like that, but hot sake, that's good times.
Hot sake makes you lethargic. It makes me lethargic. Cold sake is refreshing.
And it's summertime. You can drink hot sake in the summertime.
All right.
Hot sake.
Now this has become L.A. What you sipping? Apparently we can talk about how you drink your drinks. I know. I like the cold sake and then a nice cold Asahi, too. I double fisted. I got the sake for sipping and then the Asahi for guzzling.
I see.
And I did about three of those big, tall, boy Asahis. And polished off a full bottle of cold sake.
How are you here?
practice.
Okay.
It's just experience, Allie. Yeah. When you live a life like I do, you learn how to function after a hard night.
Okay.
Give him the breathalyzer!
Yeah, indeed. I was a little scared driving in this morning. I was like, if I get pulled over, I wonder what I'd blow. Oh. I mean, I went to bed at a decent hour last night, but I did have a lot of
I wonder what you'd have to blow.
Would you?
Please!
God, the children. All right, let's talk about Jesus to wash that right out of our mouths. Jesus. Are you guys like the VR? Are you familiar? Are you into the virtual reality at all? Do you do the Oculus Rift or the Google Cardboard?
I almost did yesterday because Postmates was delivering it, where they would bring VR to you, and I almost did it. Yes, Postmates, where you get food, but instead they were bringing...
Right, I'm confused. Why would they bring you VR?
I don't know. I got an email about it, and I was like, I should do it, and then I got scared.
Why would you get scared?
It's creepy. You don't know. And then, right?
You're a weird lady. They're making a new 90-minute film called Jesus VR. It's the story of Christ, but in virtual reality. Hmm. So you're there. You're in the story of Christ.
Okay.
It'll be out just before Christmas. You'll be able to watch it in all formats, the Google Cardboard and the Samsung Gear, Oculus Rift, PlayStation VR. And it's shot in the same Italian village that was used by Mel Gibson in The Passion of the Christ. And the producers say you'll be there for Christ's baptism. You'll be there for his Sermon on the Mount. You'll be there for the Last Supper. You're there at the crucifixion. You'd probably drive a couple nails you're so inclined.
I don't think it's that interactive.
I'm saying it'd be awesome.
Ooh, I don't know.
So Jesus, the story, you're there, right there, where it all happened.
Okay.
Any interest?
Nope.
No, me neither. I'm dubious about the whole VR experience, quite frankly. I don't think they've really nailed it yet to the point where you can... I mean, I want like holodeck, like Star Trek kind of stuff where you feel like you're in it.
Right.
Not where it's like, oh, this is sort of an awkward faux experience.
Yeah. I don't like it.
You like Pharrell Williams?
A lot.
He was on Sesame Street this week. Just stopped by. You know, they got big stars on that Sesame Street show. Gwen Stefani did it this season already. Nick Jonas has done it. Pharrell Williams made the kids happy by stopping by. He was reading a book with Elmo, and the Cookie Monster shows up. And he teaches Cookie Monster that by reading a book, Allie, you might be surprised to hear this, you can go anywhere just by reading a book.
Really?
He's even got a song about it. It's called B is for Book. Here's new Pharrell Williams. Pull a sword from a stone and wind up on a throne. Have tea with the hatter. If it's not, it don't matter, because it's inside a book. Yeah, B's for Book. Come along with me. B's for Book. Grab a book and you'll see. B's for Book. Come along with me. B's for Book. The letter B.
Wow, Book do that. Me mind blown.
That's right, Cookie. You just have to use your imagination.
Aww, you I love it.
Something to grow on.
Me mind blown.
His mind's blown. And Iggy Azalea, poor Iggy.
Oh, man.
She set the record straight about her split from fiancé Nick Young yesterday. She released a series of tweets talking about why they split up. Lots of people speculating, of course, that it was because of that video of him talking to his teammate. Was it D'Angelo?
D'Angelo Russell.
D'Angelo Russell, yeah. About cheating on his fiancé. Oh, it was worse than that. Here's what she tweeted. I broke up with Nick because I found out he had brought other women into our home while I was away and caught them on the security footage.
Oh, idiot.
He's an idiot.
That's...
You erase that, right? If you know you're bringing, you're bringing other hoes in,
then you
erase the video footage. Or you cover up the cameras, or you...
Do it somewhere else!
Or you do it somewhere else,
if you're so inclined to do it, which apparently that's been what he does... Do it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Or don't propose to get married.
Yeah, he actually doesn't want to be married. This is a guy who doesn't want to be married, right?
Absolutely.
Well, problem solved, because I don't think he's going to be marrying Iggy Azalea anytime soon, or whoever that woman is.
It's Iggy.
Are you sure?
Yes. She just had, I think, a nose job and maybe a chin implant, but it's still her.
Or she was in a fiery car crash and they had to build her. They had to rebuild her from scratch.
How dare
she looks like a completely different person.
I don't.
And I thought she was so lovely. Initially, and now she looks like an episode of Botched.
Oh,
yeah,
Ralph,
something's gone wrong there.
I don't think
she looks like a catcher's mitt. Something's gone horribly
that is
wrong.
Hateful.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. David Alan Greer is 60 years old today. Mike Tyson is 50. Modest Yahoo, the rapper, is 37 years old. Lizzie Kaplan turns 34. Michael Phelps, who will be swimming once again for the U.S. of A. in Rio at the Olympics this summer.
Is it his fifth
I believe
Olympics?
So.
Yeah. That's insane.
He started when he was a zygote,
I believe. Yeah. And didn't he just have a baby? So he just wants out.
He had a baby?
Yeah.
Why didn't that make the
right?
news?
He, his wife had a baby.
That's not news. He's 31 years old. Let's talk about what's good after the top of the hour. Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. Phone lines are open. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. This is the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ-FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. The boys are away on a little vacation time. However, we are keeping things live with a little segment we like to call What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
This is your chance to tell us what's happening. What are we not talking about? What are we missing? What's going on in your life? Why listen to the show when you can be part of the show? Let's start with Devorah on line four. We were just talking about sake. We had a fascinating sake conversation just moments ago, and Devorah would like to chime in. What's good, Devorah?
Happy summer to you guys.
Likewise.
Well, sake's good.
It is. Good. It's too good. That's the problem. I did a bottle last night. That's how good it is.
Oh, God bless you.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is my take on food and alcohol. Certain things go with certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you need an amber or a dark beer with a hamburger. You need a light Mexican beer with a lime, with
right.
Mexican food.
Okay.
You need hot tea with Chinese food. You need hot sake to go with that wasabi. It just makes it, open up in your nostrils and in your throat. The cold sake is really great for sipping, for dessert. I love cold sake. I love hot sake. But I have to just say that, you know, you really need that hot sake with the wasabi. And it just kind of blends in your palate.
You lost me at opening up my throat, Devorah. That just sounded way too homoerotic
for me. Really, that's when I totally got into it. Really? That's when I perked up.
Yeah, that's what bothered me. I guess it's a matter of taste. I mean, some people I know swear by it, but I think there's something about a crisp, cold sake that really augments the sushi experience, but that's just me.
Yeah, it's delish. Any way you go, it's delish.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
But,
yeah.
I think we're all right
here,
on
try this next time. Do you guys eat wasabi with, you know, put your soy sauce in your wasabi and all, mix it up?
I do, yes.
Okay, add a little bit of beer.
Beer to the soy?
To the soy sauce and the wasabi. Oh. It is phenomenal.
Devorah, you're a loose cannon. You are. You're an outlaw.
She can't be contained.
You're an outlaw.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. I like it a lot.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Thanks,
let's talk
Devorah.
To Victoria in Alhambra. She's got something we need to think about. Hey, Victoria, what's good?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So this 4th of July, I know everyone's always talking about be careful with your pets and everything.
Yes.
But what people don't think about is the veterans who came home from deployment and how the fireworks are affecting them as well. So maybe we should just be a little more conscious for them.
Like PTSD and hearing that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Is this, no, I know nothing about this. Is this a frequent issue that vets have?
I actually just saw something about it not too long ago, and I had never thought about it before.
Mm.
And both my grandparents were in the war as well, so it's just something that's near and dear to my heart.
It's something to think about, but I don't know what do you do about it? You know, how do you, it's hard to avoid fireworks and explosions and those sounds at 4th of July, so I'm not sure.
Oh, definitely. But I mean, if you're going to a fireworks stand, maybe don't get the so big ones, or maybe go somewhere farther away from housing,
yeah,
stuff like that.
That's an idea. Stick with a nice, quiet sparkler.
I like
that. Yeah. All right, Victoria, thanks so much. Let's talk to Simple. Simple?
I've never heard that name.
Is that a name?
Hello?
Hi.
That is Simple. My name.
Your name
Hi.
Is Simple?
No, Simple.
You just said what I said. Your name is Simple?
Yes, I know. It's S as in Sam, I, M as in Mary, P as in Paul, L-E.
So Simple.
So Simple, like the word simple. What happened there? How did that happen?
It was my oldest sister's fault. my parents wanted something that begins with an S, and that's different. And my sister said, that's simple.
All right, simple. What's on your mind? What's good?
American Ninja Warrior.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, American Ninja Warrior. You've got to listen to the host, Matt Eisman, and I can't remember the other guy's name.
Akbar.
Admiral Akbar. Yes.
It's not Admiral.
It's a trap.
Yes, that's it.
It's a trap. It's a ninja trap.
They are very funny together. Those two have great chemistry.
They are, but they make the most cheesiest puns about every athlete.
No, they're so over the top with the puns that I respect it because I love a pun, but Ralph and Kevin's heads, I think, would explode with how punny it gets. I dig it.
It's so bad. It's so badly funny. It's horribly funny.
All right, thanks for the heads up. We'll keep a listen. Rich, let's close out with Rich talking about sports. Rich, what's good?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, Rob, did you hear about this, man? Yesterday, this website called 27sports.com reported that they're predicting the Eagles, our beloved Eagles, as finishing last in the conference and the division. What's up with that?
I heard they thought they were going to finish last in the NFL.
Oh, not just
that's
the division.
Even worse.
Yeah, I heard they picked them to go 3-13 and be the worst team in the NFL. That's what I heard.
Oh,
I didn't get a chance to read the article, but that's what I heard. Listen, I'm all for that. I'm all for that because all of these preseason prognostications and all these polls and all these surveys are invariably worthless and almost always wrong. So I'd much rather go into the season being the expected underdog than go in there like last year where they said we were going to win the division and we came up short.
There was a report out of Harvard last year that the Dolphins were going to be number one in their division. So let's not put too much credence into these polls.
Yeah, look, it's a new coach. There's a lot of new players. I can understand why they would think that it's a rebuilding year, that maybe they might struggle. But 3-13 is ridiculous. There's no way that happens. But I can't wait for football. I'm just dying for football to start.
Hey, at least we're not the Bucks, right?
That's right. Are you an Eagles fan, Rich?
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'm going to send you out with this then. This is for you. Eagles fights on. Hit it. Bucks.
Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory. Fight, Eagles, fight. Score a touchdown, 1, 2, 3. Hit 'em low, hit 'em high, and watch our Eagles fly. Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory.
Is there a California state song? Is there an official song that has been designated as the state song for California?
Are you serious?
No, I don't know.
I love you, California. You're the greatest state of all. It's the best commercial ever.
Well, it does sound like a good song. There's another state that's in the news right now because for more than 50 years, they have been arguing and refusing to settle on a state song in the great state of New Jersey. A man died last year at the age of 92 years old named Red Mascara, and he wrote a song called I'm from New Jersey or I like New Jersey or something like that.
I'm from New Jersey.
I'm from New Jersey. Thank you. And he petitioned every year to the state legislature to try to have that made as a state song, and he could get nowhere. Well, now he's dead, and I don't know if now, out of sympathy, they're going to give it to his family or something like that and make that the state song. But there are lots of other people who say, hey, there are lots of great songs about New Jersey. There's a guy named Patrick Finley who has a song called New Jersey, My Home. There's another one called In New Jersey. There's a song called New Jersey, USA by a man named Nelson Trout. So there are a lot of songs about the great state of New Jersey. None of them are the state song yet. Mm-hmm. And I have this question to ask. When Bruce Springsteen is still alive, why are you not talking to him about the state song of New Jersey?
Crazy.
I got to say, next to Frank Sinatra, Bruce Springsteen's got to be the most famous and popular musician that ever came out of that state. Well, it seems like he's a treasure.
Well, thank you, but I don't think they run everything in the state past me. You know, I'm not the governor.
But you're the boss, though.
Well, some people say that.
Well, you are, Bruce. So I thought of you instantly when I saw that they were at a deadlock there in the state legislature. I'm just wondering, is that the type of thing? I mean, you don't use your music for commercials or anything like that, but you know, for the state that you love, would you be willing to consider a song for New Jersey?
Well, a lot of my critics would say there are some of my songs already that are sort of all about New Jersey. I do mention it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely, I'd love to be in the mix. and maybe come up with an idea or two for a song that would be the Jersey State song. I think it'd be great.
It would be great. What about like Born to Run? I mean, that's a song that's you know, people say Born to Run, they think Springsteen, they think Jersey. It's an anthem. It's a rock classic. It's a song that people love and will love for 1,000 years, boss.
Well, thanks, man. But I don't think I'd take one of my existing songs and sort of hand it over to the state. I'd like to come up with something original, something that sums up my feelings about growing up in Jersey and mm-hmm. what the state has meant to me over the years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got a couple I've been playing with over the years, just sort of Jersey anthems that maybe one of those might be right for it.
We'd love to hear what you're talking about.
Sure, yeah, man. You know, I remember growing up in Jersey, mm-hmm. my dad had a old 57 Chevy Bel Air, and I would get behind the wheel of that car and just draw back on a bottle of cold beer and just cruise at night back by the Jersey swamps. And I remember once hitting a drifter, just bounced off the hood of that car, and that car was like a tank. Nothing could hurt it, certainly not some bum.
No.
But I had to pull over to the side, and
I
had to put him in the trunk.
And
great thing about Jersey is it's a lot of land back there by the swamps and down by the beaches where you could get rid of a body.
Okay, Bruce.
Nobody would ever find it.
Let me stop you,
Bruce. That's what this song's all about.
No, Bruce, no.
New Jersey, you can bury a body easily. New Jersey, no one will ever find it.
I just don't think that's the type of thing that the state would feel like would best represent their people. That's all. There's too much death in that song.
Well,
Bruce,
I got another one.
Okay, good. Maybe this would have worked a little better.
You know, I remember being on the boardwalk once down by the Jersey Shore, and me and my friends were walking down the boardwalk, and there was a plank loose. Sometimes they do come loose in the summertime when everybody's walking up and down on them. And my friend, his foot fell through the boardwalk.
Oh, no.
And plank severed an artery.
Oh, wow.
He bled out there on the boardwalk. The cops were already looking for us, just knocking over a liquor store. So we knew we couldn't go to a hospital. So what we did was, We tied a tourniquet around his leg. I had a bandana that I used to wear, and I would stop the bleeding. And we decided we had to take the leg. There's no way he could keep that leg. So we got an old rusty can of baked beans and took the lid off and used the lid of the can to cut through the flesh. And when we got to the bone, I think it was Clarence who said, "We're going to have to snap that off." So we just dangled his leg over the side of the boardwalk. You all right? Just kept hitting his leg with an old beer keg we found underneath the boardwalk until that leg snapped off.
Bruce, this is maybe taken to the hospital or something. I don't know.
We lost him. He died.
Oh, no.
So we said we'd have a funeral right there at the beach and just toss his body out into the surf.
Right.
Unfortunately, the tide kept washing the body back in up on the shore again and kept tossing him out, and he'd toss back in. And we realized he just didn't want to leave Jersey. That's what this song's about. Jersey, when you're dead and you want to leave it, it doesn't matter. Your body keeps washing back on the shore. So I was thinking something like that would be good.
Yeah, I think maybe you got to spend a little more time with that, Bruce. I don't think those are going to work for the state of New Jersey, but good effort, though, anyway.
That's Jersey to me, man.
Good Day Spokane is the show in beautiful Spokane, Washington, and they were interviewing, as you have to do, Allie. You worked in news for many years. If somebody's 100-plus, you have to go interview them on the morning show, right?
Absolutely.
It just comes with the territory.
Right. They usually have big parties at the nursing home, that type of thing.
Right. This woman, Flossie Dickey, is 110, and you can listen to the tape and decide for yourself. I'm not sure she was thrilled by being interviewed on the news.
This is Flossie Dickey, and check it out, folks. We got her very own Good Day Spokane coffee mug.
Yes! Yes!
Yes. She's 110 and she gets a coffee mug.
Yeah.
Really?
How long do you have to live to get a TV?
And this is the most upbeat, happy, just wants Flossie to have a great time type of reporter.
She is enjoying some coffee this morning because, Flossie, you say you're a little tired this morning. Is that right?
I am tired.
She's a droopy dog.
By the way, would you give a 110-year-old a hot cup of coffee to hold? I was so nervous watching this thing that somehow that she wasn't going to be able to hang on to that cup and she was going to drop it into her lap.
Now you think, as a reporter, now you go, okay, well, maybe I'll come back at a different time. Although, how many chances are you going to get?
I am tired.
She is very tired. That's actually, I heard, your favorite activity to do at the center here is to take a little nap.
Take a nap many times as I can.
As many times as she can, she likes to take a nap.
I don't know why this reporter has to repeat everything that she says right after she says it.
The only thing I can think is maybe she feels like the listeners, the people watching at home, are not hearing it because Flossie is real soft-spoken or something, but we can certainly hear it.
Flossie has 3 children. You have 12 grandchildren, 20 great-grandchildren, and 15 great-great-grandchildren. You sound like a very busy lady. Yes, she has lived in multiple places.
Okay, can I stop you right there? Explain the premise of her question.
Well, I suppose...
How is she a busy lady because she had 3 kids 80 years ago? Why does that make her busy today?
Well, I would suppose all of the grandkids and all that kind of stuff would have parties or whatever.
Catching up with them, that type of thing.
So she's busy just because she has a lot of members in her family? That makes her busy?
Sure.
All right, she didn't look busy to me.
In the Northwest, even lived in Arizona. She's originally from Oregon. That's where she was born. And Flossie, this morning, we also have some flowers that we would like to give you.
Now, this is funny because the reporter takes the flowers and puts them in Flossie's lap, but that sort of disturbs her a little bit.
She got her nails done. I don't know if you can see, but they're a beautiful pink. Pink and purple, we heard, were your favorite colors. So I'm just going to set those on your lap for you.
All right.
And
They won't stay.
Oh, Flossie.
Because she couldn't hold her legs, and they're falling off of her legs.
Because she's got her coffee, too.
They won't stay.
I'll hold them. How about that? So that they stay. Later today, Flossie's family is going to be coming out here to throw you a big birthday party. Are you excited for your party?
Not one bit.
That's the best.
That is so much gold.
Oh, I love that.
By the way, that's a slam dunk question.
Yes.
Are you excited for your party?
Yeah.
That's just an obvious time waster so she could come up with something else.
Sure.
And Dottie is not having
it. Are you excited for your party?
Not one bit.
What would you rather? You would rather be taking a nap, huh?
Nicole.
Anyway, I'm here with Chris Barr. Chris, you have known Flossie. Come on in here. Yes?
Somebody else come in and talk to me, please.
Please, I'm out.
Someone.
By the way, Flossie Dickey, 110, was a little girl old enough to know what was going on when the Titanic sank. Think about that for a second.
She's seen a lot of death, is what Bean's saying.
Well, I'm saying she's seen a lot of life, too. She's seen a lot of history. It's pretty impressive that she's still alive.
Can you ask
Flossie, 110, obviously she knows a few secrets here. What is the key to live that long?
Yes, I've been trying to get that out of her. Flossie, the people on TV want to know what the secret is to being able to live so long.
I don't know. I don't fight it. I live it.
She doesn't fight it. She lives it. And that's what her granddaughter actually said to me.
Can I just butt in and say, we don't need to ask a 110-year-old the secret to living long, because I assume they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing that they can share with us, really, to help us live to be 110. And I don't even want to be 110. She's miserable.
I think that's a question that gets asked of every old person.
Yes, it needs to be stopped.
Because we're all looking for that secret.
No, I'm not. I don't want to be 100. She's miserable.
Yeah, I don't want to be.
I do not want to be 110.
When people ask her that, she says she just lives. Any secret food or anything we can all be eating every day to stay alive as long as you?
No.
Nope, just live it. But joining me here is Chris Barr. Chris, you've been known Flossie for 10 years.
Oh, yeah. Now she's going to ask somebody in the assisted living home about Flossie.
Tell us a little bit about her and the time that you've known her here at the Cheney Care Center.
She acclimated very quickly. We've had her here. She's a jokester. She does tell jokes.
All right, question. Is it possible, are you excited for your party? And her saying, not a little bit, she's being funny?
No,
I don't think so either.
Straight
I don't think
up so either. Means that she is done.
Yeah, her favorite thing, according to her family, is to sit down and have some whiskey straight up.
There you go.
Some whiskey straight up. I also heard you enjoy an occasional piece of pie. So, Flossie, happy 110th birthday. If you do the math, she was born in 1906 on February 18th. Matt and Cheerson, we're going to send it back to you guys.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Flossie. And you know what? I think Flossie just wants to say, get that TV camera out of here.
Totally.
Well, why don't you?
Let me sip on my cup of coffee and then take a nap. You know, and who could blame her? Don't fight it. Live it.
Live it. So go out and do as Flossie does.
Thanks for being with us this morning. How cool was that?
We'll see you tomorrow, everyone.
So Flossie has so little time left. Why torture her with your nonsense?
That's what I'm saying.
Are you excited for your party?
Not one bit.
8:53 in the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ-FM. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much for spending some time with us this morning. I'm here, of course, with the lovely and talented Allie McKay.
Hi, Ralph.
And Beer Mug.
Lovely and talented as well?
No, just Beer Mug. Aww. Yeah, I got to tell you, though, Beer Mug, so far, you haven't ruined the show.
Well, thank you.
And
that's a hard feat.
Color me surprised.
Yeah.
Because awesome. Chip the Wonder Monkey's off doing something, and you had to step in here today, and I'm happy to say you have not yet ruined the show.
Show's not over. There's a whole hour left.
I know I'm jinxing myself by saying this. Earlier this morning on the Showbiz Beat, we were talking about, as news to me, the three-part mini-series about New Edition.
Yes!
That Allie McKay is...
I am over the moon.
Insanely excited about.
No, I'm going to tell you, I watched the BET Awards the other night.
Well, who didn't?
I know. We were up in Montecito digging it. Oh, the Prince tributes, don't get me started. Fantastic.
You were in your haunted house in Montecito watching the BET Awards? This sounds like Mad Libs.
No.
In a haunted house in Montecito watching the BET Awards.
But a little teaser trailer for the three-part miniseries on New Edition came on. All three of us girls jumped up, started high-fiving each other, singing along to Candy Girl. We are so pumped.
Bunch of drunk white chicks in a haunted house.
A little bit.
Cheering
little
for
bit.
A New Edition
miniseries. Oh, I'm so excited.
Listener Edwin, who always contributes to the show, and we're happy to have him, wrote this in. There's going to be a three-part miniseries about New Edition? Wait a minute. You can't have more episodes than hit songs.
Okay, it's not just New Edition. It's also the breakoff of Bobby Brown. It's going to go through Belle Biv DeVoe. They're going to encompass all of it. When Johnny Gill joined the band, there's going to be so much. Oh, I can't wait. And guess who's going to be playing Michael Bivins? One of the kids from Empire. The youngest lion.
An actor whose name you don't even know, obviously. You're very excited about his participation.
I don't know real names of people, but he plays Hakeem Lion.
Edwin adds, I'm waiting for the six-part miniseries about Thomas Dolby. So I think we all are.
I don't think you're very funny.
Science!
Just call it
science!
Nope.
Speaking of Allie McKay, here's something else for you to be worried about. For those who aren't familiar with the show, Allie is a scaredy cat about many things. Cruise ships.
Hiking.
Mm-hmm.
Internet dating.
It's
a lot of Dateline, and they kill you when they ask you to go hiking. No, Postmates, I'm never.
Coke Zero cans.
You was frightened by that this morning.
It freaked me out. I wasn't ready.
Here's something else for you to worry about, Allie. I didn't know this was a thing, but apparently it is.
Uh-huh.
Police in New York are investigating a bizarre crime.
Okay. Oh, dear. Uh-oh, it's tickling you, so
yes,
I don't
it
like
is.
It.
Bizarre crime. An incident happened Monday.
Uh-huh.
On East 74th between 1st and York Avenues in Manhattan.
Okay.
Police say a 27-year-old woman was walking down the street when a man came up, grabbed her from behind, grabbed her by the waist, pulled open the stretch band of her waist, of her pants, shoved a bag of feces down her pants.
What?
And proceeded to grab her buttocks.
Wait, he shoved a bag of poop down her pants?
Yes.
What?
So people are
what?
People in New York now are worried about the poop grabber. He shoves poop down your pants, and then he grabs your buttocks where the poop is, and then he runs away. So police are asking if anyone who has any information about this man, please contact them.
That is a bizarre fetish.
So be careful when you're walking down the street that no one grabs you, pulls your pants open, and shoves a bag of poop down your pants.
That is a worry I didn't even know existed.
Well, see, now you've got something else to add to it. Oh, are you as excited as I am about...
the New Edition miniseries.
No, the Enterprise, back on display at the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C. The National Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. Did you ever go there when you were a kid? Ever take a school trip? You never took a school trip to Washington, D.C.?
No, I was supposed to, and I actually got mono. I was a big debate thing, and then I got mono, and I couldn't go.
What do you get for making out with all those dudes?
Yeah.
And or women. I don't know how you swing. But I used to love the National Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C., especially the fact that you could go there and see the actual USS Enterprise from Star Trek. The original model they used in the production of the 60s TV series used to hang there in the museum. It's like 6 feet long. It's huge.
I feel like it should maybe be more real space things than fake space things.
That is real space.
Okay.
Anyway, it's been off out of display since 2014.
Why?
Because they wanted to take it down and refurbish it.
Oh.
And
upgrades.
Upgrade and make it as exact as it was when it was used back in the 60s, and they wanted to repaint it and repair it and make it all pristine. And it's new, and it's beautiful, and it's back on display this week in Washington, D.C. to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the series. So if you're a nerd like I am, here's your opportunity to see the original Enterprise on display in Washington, D.C. at the Smithsonian.
And is it just the outside of it? It's not like you can walk in, like a set type of thing.
It's a six-foot-long model of the Enterprise.
Oh.
Did you think you were going to climb inside of it and take a trip?
Okay.
Nope. It's the special effects model they use in the series when you would see the Enterprise flying through space. This is the model they would shoot.
It took 2 years to refurbish that?
Yes.
Come
on. Because it was painstaking. It had to be restored.
No.
Painstakingly restored. Their research had to be done.
Someone was super high.
A team has been working for 2 years to make it right. Now it's available.
Got Cheeto dust on it.
Speaking of Star Trek... Star Trek in Concert is a thing that's happening at the Hollywood Bowl on July 8th. This is pretty cool. It's the Star Trek motion picture from 2009, the J.J. Abrams reboot Star Trek movie, which was great, by the way. It's going to be shown in HD on the Hollywood Bowl's big screen, and the Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra will play the score live to picture as you're watching the film. What a great event. July 8th is the date. You can go to... where do I send you? HollywoodBowl.com if you want more information or for tickets. Or if you'd like to go, you can call us right now. 1-800-520-1067. Since it's July 8th, caller number 8 through with that number. We'll get a pair of, four-pack of tickets to Star Trek in Concert at the Hollywood Bowl on July 8th. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. David Alan Greer turned 60 years old today. Mike Tyson is 50. I wonder how Mike's feeling. Is his back okay? Because I remember him saying that he had some back issues.
Yeah.
Mike, were you really sick this week? What was the problem?
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that?
My back is broken.
What, a vertebrae or what portion?
Spinal.
My spinal area is broken. And then a guy ran up to me and he stuffed a bag of feces down my pants. You know why anyone would do that? It's awful.
It's a crappy thing to do, somebody.
Ralph, who else was born today?
Modest Yahoo is 37 years old.
Don't clap, beer mug.
That was good.
Michael Phelps, the swimmer, is 31. And Lizzie Kaplan celebrates her 34th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. There are many substances that you eat, drink, smoke, inject, butt chug.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of ways that you ingest substances to alter your state of consciousness.
And you're asking people to send those to you?
Please send me each and every one of those that you have, yes.
Okay.
No, so there's a lot of different ways that people get stone drunk, high, altered in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But to my knowledge, none of them have a fully formed culture around them like pot does. Not everyone, of course, who smokes pot is part of this, but it seems like a large percentage of people who enjoy using marijuana also, for whatever reason, adopt that as part of their persona, part of their identity. In terms of there are
many pot conventions. There are gatherings around the country, around the world, where everyone gets together to wear T-shirts with a pot leaf on it and to wear Rastafarian beanies and talk pot. There's magazines. And I don't know any other drug that has that. I don't see people walking around with "I love beer" T-shirts or bumper stickers. I don't see Coke Con. I don't see like a cocaine convention being held anywhere. I don't see
that sounds
would
like an
never
opportunity,
end.
Though.
I don't see Vodka Palooza, where everyone gets together and talks about how much they love vodka and they wear their vodka clothes. I mean,
and then puke.
It's a lot of things you do.
Yeah, that's true.
To get effed up. But pot has a singular quality about it that the people who love it make it sort of the center of their identity. Yeah. And I don't know what that is. I don't know why that is. Why does this substance have that sway over people unlike any other? And so I thought maybe we could open up the phone lines and talk to some folks who partake but also identify with pot in a very strong way and find what it is about that drug that makes you want to align it so closely to your persona. It just seems odd to me that you would adopt pot as sort of like your thing. That like this is the flag I'm going to march under. I'm part of the pot tribe.
Well, are they called the tribe?
Yeah, the pot tribe.
Okay. Sure. This could be absolutely fascinating, or it could be the worst loser stoner phone calls we've ever had.
If you're really stoned right now, call us.
Yeah. Betty, you're first up on this topic. What do you think? I think Ralph raises a good question. What's your answer?
Well, it's just something that brings people together. Pot is so universal. It doesn't matter what you like, what type of person you are. Like, if you see pot, you're going to gather with that pot smoker, and you're going to talk about it. You're going to have a great time with them.
People share as well a lot. They're perfectly happy to share. Hey, come on. Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of people say, hey, can I have a swig off your beer? Right. A lot of strangers don't come up to you and say, hey, can I have a pull off that red Solo cup? You don't get that in a lot of parties. But, you know, a keg brings people together, too. You bring a keg to a party, and everyone gathers around that to get the beer.
That's not so much your culture.
Still not the same, though. I don't understand why there aren't more, you know, keg T-shirts.
Ashley, thank you so much for holding on. What do you have to offer for us?
Yes, you're on the air. We were talking.
Wow.
I'll just have to say, you sound so ignorant with your generalization on people who smoke marijuana.
Okay. Well, first of all, I didn't generalize. I made a point of saying, shut up. I made a point of saying there are a ton of people who don't do this, but there are convention centers that fill up with people like this. So it's not a generalization. I'm talking about a specific group of people.
So you're talking about a population that is a very small population of those who do use marijuana. The population of people who use marijuana is so much larger than the very small amount of people that you are generalizing. The media has kind of created this stoner-like thing around people who use marijuana. I worked in a marijuana dispensary in Anaheim, and I sold pot to many of the people who smoke pot in Anaheim, and there are many people in the professional world, you know, the stoners and the people that go to these conventions. It's a very small amount of people that do that.
Yeah, but it's larger than any other substance gets. That's what my point is.
But you're wrong.
Well, no, I'm not, because there aren't big conventions. There aren't big bourbon conventions. And there's not big vodka conventions, not big cocaine conventions. But there are big pot conventions.
Ashley,
people go to whiskey tasting.
Yeah, but that's a tiny group of people. It's smaller than these people that we're talking about.
Ashley, you're misunderstanding. We don't care.
Don't be so defensive. You're not addressing what we're talking about.
We're not angry.
You're being quite rude. I've gone to these conventions myself, and I'm very active in the world of marijuana usage.
Good for you.
How are you so aggressive?
Why? Just smoke a bowl and relax.
All right.
Ashley, you're being quite rude.
Okay. All right. I'm glad you called. We appreciate your opinion. Thank you very much.
Smoke more. Right.
She doesn't smoke enough. She came out of the gate completely, completely mischaracterizing what we're talking about.
Am I on the air?
There are two types of people in the world. There are people who see another human make an incredible accomplishment, and they go, wow, I'm really impressed. That's great. And then there's Kevin, who says, I don't want anybody to ever do anything good because it somehow reflects poorly on me.
I don't mind good.
Uh-huh.
But the kid is nine.
He's 9 years old. And he swam to Alcatraz and back, yes.
Right. So the whole rap on Alcatraz, it's our entire lives has been, no one escaped because you can't make the swim from Alcatraz to the land because right. it's too cold, there's currents, you die. It's an impossibility.
Sharks, the whole deal, right.
Right. This nine-year-old swam from San Francisco to Alcatraz and back. Right. In less than 2 hours.
So why aren't you impressed? Why aren't you looking at this kid as a phenomenal athlete?
Because he's making all of us look terrible.
But what he does doesn't have any reflection whatsoever on what you do.
Because then I look at myself and I go, how far could I make it?
Right.
And it would be like, I would injure myself diving into the ocean.
Kevin, I don't think I have to ask this question out loud because we're all thinking it, but what were you doing when you were nine?
Throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
Robbie Joyner.
And
okay,
that's what this kid should have been doing. He's nine.
He likes to swim.
Smoke some weed. Set something
nine.
On fire.
No,
set something
don't
on
smoke
fire.
Weed at nine.
Set something
no.
on fire. Do something
don't
like
set
other
anything
nine-year-olds
on fire.
Do.
Here's a very badly produced and read report from the news in San Francisco yesterday about this event.
Today, a Los Banos boy completed quite the journey. He swam through the San Francisco Bay all the way to Alcatraz and back.
I don't know how he did it, but the 9-year-old is hoping to be the youngest swimmer on record to make the swim. Currently, the title is held by a 10-year-old, and right now, KC24's Janelle Bluda is lucky because she's live in San Francisco. She's been following his journey since the beginning. Good morning, Janelle.
The previous record, again, was held by a 10-year-old
who probably thought, I'm 10. I'm good. I've got this record locked in for a long time.
How did this become a thing that we throw little kids into the San Francisco Bay, by the way?
Oh, I think that's always been a thing.
I didn't realize
All right, let's hear what Janelle has to say. I think at some point she's with the kid.
Good morning, George. Lucky is definitely the word to use here. It's been an emotional day out here, but it wrapped up with smiles and cheers right here on this shore as James walked on after hours in the ocean. Now, James started that swim at 7 o'clock this morning. It took him a little over 2 hours to complete it. But it wasn't all fun and games. James did struggle for a bit out in the open water about 30 minutes into the swim. He says the waves were hitting him and the current was too strong, making it difficult for him to fight them.
Oh, really? So it wasn't easy? It wasn't simple?
It wasn't easy.
At some point in this swim, he had to try.
You're so angry.
You kid. You kid. You kid.
So let me ask you this, Kevin. I want to ask about the dad in this story. Because it's not like the dad just waved the kid goodbye and patted him on the head and said, all right, see you in a couple of hours, son. The dad is next to the kid swimming. The dad is in a boat following along with the journey to keep an eye on his boy, okay?
Right.
At some point, the kid started really having trouble, getting hit in the face with the water and going under.
Really?
And
it was
really
difficult
struggling.
For him to swim to Alcatraz and back?
So what's your read on the dad who ups the $100 that he had promised his kid? Keep swimming, kid. I'll give you an extra $100. I'll throw in another hundy. So now it's up to $200. Is the dad doing the right thing by inspiring this kid? Or do you think at that point the dad should be, what am I doing? Making my 9-year-old swim to Alcatraz and pull him out of the water.
You dad. You dad. You dad.
The dad offers him $100 to do something that maybe no one else in the world can do.
It does seem a little chilly, doesn't it? Up that a bit.
Yeah.
The kid is fighting possibly sharks, which right? that father is going to be able to do nothing about in his little dinghy with his little...
That's correct.
Oh, don't disparage his dinghy.
No, <I'm> saying, you don't know.
You don't
what,
know,
they
interview
his ex-wife? What did you hear? All right, let's go back to Janelle.
But in the end, with help from his coach and a promise from his dad, James found his second wind and was off.
And I wanted to turn back. They kept on going, I believe in you, you could do it.
He's, I believe in you, you could do it.
I thought he said, I'm leaving you.
No.
I believe in you. I don't think that's what he said.
But he's nine and he's very cold, so I think it's tough for him to talk.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I'm going, I believe in you, you could do it.
Yeah, it's I believe in you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And we kind of pushed each other on. I finally got him going. We touched the rock. We turned around, and it was just smooth sailing all the way back home. No trouble at all. So.
Well, James's dad had told him that he would give him $100 if James completed the swim today. But while out on that water, you know, when that current got a little bit rough, his dad told him he'd add on another $100. And James says that is what got him going again. He says his next goal is to swim the length of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Dad, I don't think I'm going to make it.
Another hundy.
I'm in.
I mean.
So now he's going to swim the length of the Golden Gate Bridge. Is that an F you to the whole family?
You kidding, Dad? You kidding, Dad? You kidding, Dad?
Yeah. Woo! Oh, I just want to put my roller skates on.
That's it?
Yeah.
If you could stop moving like that, that would be great.
Get out there on the floor.
Nope.
Woo! All skate. Go backwards. Woo! My dolphin shorts. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, the world-famous K-Rock at 9:40 in the morning. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. I wish I could start the whole show over again because my hangover is just now starting to lift.
Oh, no.
I'm starting to feel human again.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to be able to have another shot at this one.
Huh.
I feel like it could do a little bit better.
Well, you win some, you lose some.
I guess so. With me, of course, is the lovely Allie McKay. We're doing Showbiz Beats for you live and giving away some stuff and doing what's good each and every day. So come on back tomorrow. It's going to be fun. Speaking of giving stuff away, Beer Mug, don't you have an appearance you're doing today?
I do. Today we'll be at the Irvine Spectrum Hot Topic, and the address is 71 Fortune Drive in Irvine. And I will be at the Hot Topic store giving away Blink 182 tickets, Temper Trap tickets, Young the Giant tickets, Coldplay tickets, Hot Topic gift cards. It's going to be nuts.
But the reason you're at Hot Topic, you're burying the lead.
I am burying the lead. I know.
It is the K-Rock 2016 summer sticker.
Yes, and
on got the new sticker out. You can only get it at the Hot Topic.
And on the back, you can enter to win a brand new 2016 Honda Civic.
Wow!
And a private performance from 21 Pilots at your house for you and 21 of your friends.
I feel like you buried the lead.
Yeah. I was keeping it. I was saving the best for last.
No, okay. You weren't. You've completely forgot to mention
totally
that.
Totally did. You forgot the meaning of going to do
yes.
all these events.
On the reason yes. you're doing the appearance, yeah. you completely left that
it's
out.
Only day two.
I'll get there. You get your sticker, and then you enter the password on the back of it at krock.com, and that's how you enter the
store. And when you visit us at Hot Topic today, you can enter as in the store as well. So you get a total of two entries.
Wow.
Yep.
There you go.
That's quite a deal.
Beer Mug is just starting this reign of terror,
sure.
this campaign
well,
of terror,
day two. Yeah.
where he goes to Hot Topics and talks to people and makes their lives miserable. But yesterday he came on the show.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about his first appearance yesterday, which I guess was in Covina.
Yeah, West Covina, yeah.
Yeah. And he made a point of telling us all the things that weren't at the mall anymore that he was going to.
Mm-hmm.
He made a point of saying what things that were not available any longer at that mall. I could not see the point of it, nor could one of our listeners, Lou Thomas, who sent in this little song.
I'm going to be at the Hot Topic in the mall there. You know what's great about that? There's a food court in that mall.
Really?
Yes. And there used to be a Clifton's in that mall, too, but they took it away. But that's beside the point.
Tell us more about things that aren't in the mall you're going to be at today.
Mall historian.
Hey!
Beer Mug tells us what's gone from the mall. Beer Mug tells us what's gone from the mall. Beer Mug tells us what's not in the mall. Beer Mug tells us what's not in the mall. Beer Mug tells us what's gone from the mall.
Yay!
Thanks, Beer Mug, for that what's not in the mall update. Wonder what's not in the mall.
Let's see, Irvine.
I wonder if the Vans pool skate.
Use your words. You can do it.
Okay, you're done now. Shush. Let's get to some show business news. Just announced, Disney making a lot of people happy, announcing a sequel to their hit 2012 animated film Wreck-It Ralph. Officially in development. The release is slated for March 9th, 2018. So fans of Wreck-It Ralph will be happy to know there's another one coming your way March in 2018. Wreck-It Ralph, coincidentally, also the name of my sex tape that was released.
Oh.
I don't remember.
Really? You proud of that?
The sex tape? Actually, yeah. I was destroyed, that girl. I don't think she ever made it back. That was released without my consent, by the way.
Was it stolen?
It was stolen by some workers at my house out of my safe.
Really? Oh, it was in a safe now. Okay.
And they just put it out on the internet. I couldn't believe it. I was very upset about
that. You sound very angry.
Furious. Dave the King Mexico's happy, as are many geeks around the world, because Netflix has just announced a remake of the classic science fiction series Lost in Space. The original series began in 1965 about the Robinson family, who were taking a 5.5-year journey. Where were they going, Allie? Do you remember where they were going?
Space.
No, they weren't going to space. Oh. They got lost in space.
Yeah, because
they were headed towards
Milwaukee.
Alpha Centauri. Alpha Centauri was their destination.
Is that in space?
It is in space, okay, yes. But so they never got there because
they got lost.
Because Dr. Smith was on board. He stowed away and he screwed everything up.
Yeah.
Oh, William. Oh, the pain, William. Oh, you bubble-headed booby. Major West. Oh, the pain.
This can't be real.
That's Dr. Smith.
Why did he talk like that?
Because he was a villain.
That's a villain?
He was a greedy, self-centered villain.
That voice?
Oh, the pain. I'm scared, William.
It's like Bizarro Thurston Howell.
You don't know.
I can't.
I can't wait. 2018, another 2018 show. Doing a lot of 2018 news today. That'll be when it's on Netflix. No word on casting yet, but I'm saying, if they're looking for a new Dr. Smith. The pain.
I think we found him.
That's what I'm saying. More nerd news. You know, we've been doing a lot of Star Trek talk all week long because we're giving away tickets not only to the advanced screening that we're having for Star Trek Beyond, but also the Star Trek in concert event that's happening at the Hollywood Bowl, where they're showing the 2000, maybe I'm not over that hangover.
I don't think so.
The 2009 Star Trek film that J.J. Abrams did. But this is good news. You can now, here's the thing about Star Trek. A lot of the technology in Star Trek, a show from the 60s, came to pass. It was a forebearer of things that we actually use every day now in technology.
Okay.
Like handheld computers, other things that
like
are futuristic.
What? Like what?
You know.
No, just
phasers.
Name
phaser
two.
Guns.
Name two
like
more.
Stun guns. That,
okay.
That was a thing.
Okay.
And the communicator.
Sure.
That Kirk and Spock and everybody on the Enterprise used to use was really like a flip phone. It had a thing and it would flip up and they would talk to each other through it. And now.
Like a Nextel.
Yeah, but more like a flip phone.
All right.
Because it would go. Bloop, it would, you'd flip the top open and then you'd go, Spock, I need you to beam down. And you would just talk like that. Okay. Now they're selling a Star Trek communicator that was used. They used 3D scans of the actual prop used in the series, and now you can use it just like a cell phone. So you can use the thing that inspired the cell phone as a cell phone. We've come full circle.
Why not just use a cell phone?
Because it's a Star Trek communicator.
Okay, sure.
And you can be waiting for somebody at the movies, you know, you're Spock, where are you? I'm outside the AMC Burbank.
I do not want to go to the movies with him.
The movie starts in 15 minutes. I hate to miss the trailers. You can just talk to people like that outside places when you're waiting for people.
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
Are you a big Prince fan?
Yes.
Well, they had an auction over the weekend selling off some iconic Prince items, including costumes from the Purple Rain movie. The 3-day auction began, what's today, the 30th?
Yes. Whoa.
No, 29th.
Today's the 30th.
You sure?
The
30th.
Positive.
Started yesterday then. So you can bid on this on eBay. Here's what's available. His motorcycle jacket.
Oh, yes.
How iconic is that, right?
Yeah.
And the ruffled shirt he wore during the concert at the end of the film.
Oh, the puffy pirate shirt.
Yes. All those are available for bid on eBay. Started yesterday, so you got 2 more days to bid if you'd like to. The leather jacket is starting at $6,000. I don't know what the bidding's at now, but the shirt hit the block at $3,000. So you're going to have to pony up some cash. But if you're a Prince fan, these would be the things you want to own.
Yeah.
And they say that the jacket even has some of Prince's DNA because it's got pit stains.
So you can get yourself some Prince Pitt.
Really? Ralph, you need to go home.
Yeah, I might want to think about laying down sometime soon. All right. Hey, before I get to the showbiz birthdays, we do want to thank our friends at Honda. They're doing a nice thing. You know, they are practicing random acts of helpfulness. And today, at 5 p.m., they are giving us a commercial-free hour of radio here on K-Rock, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. So thanks for that. Listen at 5 a.m. on the drive home for commercial-free K-Rock. Today's celebrity birthdays, David Alan Greer, one of our favorites, 60 years old today. Mike Tyson turns 50. Modest Yahoo is 37 years old today. Lizzie Kaplan is 34. And swimmer Michael Phelps, who will be swimming for USA in the Rio Olympics this summer, if he doesn't get the Zika virus, of course.
Yeah. Did you hear yesterday? A mutilated body washed up on shore at the site of where they play the volleyball tournament. What is happening,
yes,
Brazil?
Welcome to Rio.
Good Lord.
Tune in tomorrow, won't you? Come on back. We're going to have a good time. We'll be doing what's good, and we'll be taking your phone calls from there. We'll be giving away stuff for the Star Trek events that I mentioned, and we'll be doing Showbiz Beat Live. Hang in. Come see us, won't you? Tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show.